Καλημέρα, καλησπέρα. Είμαι ο Νίκος.
Καλημέρα, καλησπέρα. Είμαι η Μπέτη. Και είμαστε στα EFIS Awards 2008 που οργανώνει η Ένωση Εταιριών Διαφήμισης και Επικοινωνίας. Είναι το μεγάλο συνέδριο και η παρουσίαση των διαφημίσεων οι οποίες είναι και δημιουργικές και αποτελεσματικές.
Είμαστε στη Μεγάλη Βρετανία, σε ένα δικό χώρο που μας έχουν δωρήσει. Και το σημερινό επεισόδιο νούμερο 4 είναι αρκετά ειδικό, είναι special. Έχουμε ένα super καλεσμένο, ο οποίος είναι ο Gerd Leonard, ο οποίος ήταν ο κεντρικός ομιλητής στα EFE Awards. Είπε πολύ σημαντικά πράγματα, για τα οποία μερικά από αυτά θα μιλήσουμε τώρα. Πάμε κατευθείαν στα αγγλικά να μιλήσουμε μαζί του, να μην μας περιμένει. Hello, Gerd.
Hello, καλημέρα.
Καλησπέρα.
We say καλημέρα, καλησπέρα. Okay. Good morning, good afternoon, because we don't know what time anybody will hear the episode.
Makes sense. So,
you'd like to start with the awards?
Yes, actually, yes, you're invited here for an art event, not award event, mm-hmm. where arts are celebrated because they are creative and they are effective at the same time. But you gave a workshop this afternoon and you gave a speech at the same time about the future trends about advertising. Mm-hmm. So how can we consider a creative and effective way to advertise in the future?
Well, I think you have to define creativity a little bit broader. You know, the advertising business as it has grown, you know, it's not just all about creativity, right? There's lots of business mechanisms and, of course, financial mechanisms. Now with the internet, a lot of the financial mechanisms are breaking down. You know, people are ignoring the ads. Online advertising doesn't work too well. People are clicking by the ads on television. Yes. And a lot of brands are now trying to find direct marketing because, you know, the promise of Facebook or other social networks is that you can find the interested party directly. So there is no advertising.
Yeah, that's a great message you gave today to the advertising world. the end of advertising, as we know it.
I think this is actually good news for them because if you don't reinvent anything, then this is bad news, right? Because you don't have value. This is exactly like the music industry, right? If the music industry does not invent a new way of being an industry, it has no value, right? It has the old values, for example, in music were distribution, financing, marketing, right? Now, with the internet, financing is not a big issue because it's cheap. Okay. Right? Marketing is a very big issue, but they can't do it because they don't know anything about internet marketing. Right? They only know top-down marketing.
Yeah, definitely.
And distribution is not needed. Mm-hmm. So the bottom line is no value. Right? In a lot of major record companies, there's very little value now because it's not needed. The value that they have, big companies can't support. So with advertising, I think you have the same. If you add value and that you're really creative to do things in a new way and find direct ways for the brand to meet the consumer, then you have value. But if the only value is to take a product and make something around it and then sell it. And
something smart.
You know, it's not going to be a great business. Right? And so I think a lot of the large agencies have become machines.
Yeah. Yes, that's a real critique to them, they are not any more creative industries as they used to be. Yeah,
I would go as far as saying that a lot of users and consumers probably have better ideas than some of the agencies. Right. Yeah. Because as you can see with everyone, the people have ideas, so there's no monopoly on ideas just because you're an agency. Right? What a good agency does is they make the connection, they make the puzzle, you know. Because a consumer may have a good idea, but he has no connection to the business. So it's a great idea, but can't be realized, or it's not connected. Right? So I think this is good for everyone, because what it forces the agency is to come up with better ideas and to be connected. Ultimately, that's good for everyone.
This all sounds like a cultural shock for people of advertising, especially in Greece. What could you say to them that... the next big thing in advertising, the next generation of advertising would be. First thing that I could say listening to your presentation was that the next generation of advertising would be to permit and encourage dialogue before conversation between businesses, people, communities. Do you think that's the whole case about...
I think basically advertising as interruption is dead. Right? There are still people willing to be interrupted, you know, people that are not online. Or let's say a different generation of people, they take the interruption and they buy the product. Mm. Okay, but that is going to completely go away because everybody that has any means will completely go away from the interruption.
But so, what could they do? Okay, they will not do interruption.
Okay, they have to create advertising value. Uh-huh. So I want to see the ad, right?
You know, everybody is talking about advertising value, brand value, give value to the consumer or to the citizen or to the user. Right. I mean, they use this kind of jargon, but actually they don't deliver this value. They fail to it. Mm-hmm. They are wired to disrupt. I remember a few years ago, one of the key speakers in one of these kind of events, I don't remember, EFIS or something like this, was giving a speech about how to disrupt everything. So how can they change this kind of
mindset?
Yes, because it is a mindset.
Yeah, I think this is basically, it's a mindset, it's an attitude. You know, this starts with what you believe, right? Okay, if you believe you can control people and then give them advertising and they buy the product because they're forced to watch and they're forced to buy. This is the old way of doing things, right?
Yes, it's the old way, yes, I agree.
Okay, this is like the music industry saying you buy the CD, we force you to buy in a certain way, right? And it has always worked just fine. But now, people that are forced, they just leave. Right? So if your attitude is to force people, then that's going to end, right? So I think a lot of people will have a painful transition away from the forcing to the understanding because it's not about dominance. You know, it's like if you take Google versus Microsoft,
yes.
Okay, which now, in fact, Google may become a bit of a Microsoft. But Microsoft forced people to do everything. Right? You live in the Microsoft world, they force you. Every time you turn around, there's a new force to do something. Right? Google came from the other end and said, there's no force. You use whatever you want. You ignore us, you use us. Right? So Google has very quickly dominated the world.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Basically, Google search is, if you're not top on Google, you don't exist, right?
Yeah.
So that shows you an example of how this works when you create an open system that has a lot of force.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you lose the control, but you get it back, and you get it back on the other end.
Yeah, or the back door.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the challenge for Google now is to not do too much of this because it makes them a dominant player, even if it's open, right?
Yeah.
And so the best thing can happen to Google is to get competition. And that's coming now. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's an interesting point.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think that you see this happening everywhere. Everybody who wants to keep control that's not reasonable, like, for example, hardware manufacturers, cell phone companies, mm-hmm. wireless networks that keep it's all crashing, right? Because the user resents the control when they realize it, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes they don't realize, you know, for example, in Korea Telecom owns the country pretty much, so they sell a music service and it's all controlled DRM format. Nobody cares because nobody notices. You know, you're living like in the Truman Show. You know the Truman Show.
Yes, the Truman Show. Yes.
Exactly
Truman,
like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
As long as you're inside the Truman Show, you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But this is almost impossible now. So I think we will see that in advertising. Basically, that is the biggest issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you have to let go of some of that to receive something new. But it's not, it seems counterintuitive to give up something because there's nothing new.
I totally agree.
Have you got any examples of this new way of advertising? I mean, real cases, advertising agencies or groups around Europe or in Asia or wherever,
right.
That are prone to go to this open culture.
Case studies, eh?
Yes. Do you have any real examples?
Yeah, I mean, I like the work the Tribal has been doing on this.
Yes.
There's been several campaigns. I forgot which one that I saw recently that was quite impressive. But I was just in Germany at the at some Omnicom event, and they in the museum they showed the wrapped cars, the smart cars that were wrapped with a wrapper, and they were placed on sidewalks and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, product placement. And I think it's the Smart 1.4, whatever that smart car is. And that got a lot of attention for people. Or, for example, BMWfilms.com 3 years ago. Mm. That, you know, BMW spent $100 million making movies. There wasn't even a logo in it. Mm. Right? They sold 15% more cars in America as a consequence. So I think some of those campaigns, people have to understand what people actually do. Like, I'm surprised that there's no campaign around Twitter yet. No. I mean, Twitter would be, if you do this right, I think the first campaign that uses Twitter, you know, of course, right now they're not really up most of the time, so it's mm-hmm. a problem. But the first advertising campaign that will use Twitter could be huge, right? Because it's a direct channel to the consumer.
Right now, some companies are using Twitter as a source to listen to what the community says about them, but not actively participate and push some kind of message through Twitter.
Well, you have to use Twitter to pull rather than to push.
Yeah.
You know, you have to give something away to the people who use the channel.
Yes. Right.
I think advertising basically is reversing now in that you offer value and then people come back to stay with you. And that's the advertising, rather than you pushing on them and they can't refuse. You know, it's a different logic. It's just...
You talked very much in your presentation about the model of free. Everybody will be available free on the net. And you subscribed to the idea that they will take back what they give with the free model for advertisement. Is there going to be any other model as a revenue source?
Sure, there'll be lots. But, you know, the most important asset that we can give is attention.
Mm-hmm.
That's like real money, right?
Yeah.
I think, in fact, people will be paid to listen to music in the future or to watch a film. You get paid because they want you to talk about the movies. They pay you to watch it and download it.
Yeah.
Right? Because the highest commodity is people's time.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
And so what in a connected world, my time is worth a lot more than, you know, in the disconnected world because I'm just a consumer. I'm just, I don't mean much.
Yeah.
So in a television world, they don't know if I'm watching or if I'm doing the dishes. But on the internet, you know, then all the data is available. So it would be much better for NBC to say, well, if we have internet television, then we can find out who those people are and we can give them offers of sponsors of these shows that are very meaningful to the watcher. And, you know, this is a $750 billion industry, right? Advertising. Much bigger than the music business, for example.
Yes, of course.
So there's lots of money there, but the question is, can the media companies and also the agencies, can they go with the user very early?
Yes, that's my question, if they can go with the user, because they are actually used to...
Maybe we need a new generation of executives in the agencies to participate in a new way.
This is exactly like MTV. Now,
yeah.
MTV started with the idea of saying, wouldn't it be cool to have videos with musicians?
Yeah.
And it was a great idea. And the record label said, we hate it, right, initially. And then, of course, MTV became the biggest selling factor of music.
And they embraced it. Yeah.
Right? They embraced it, right? It took a long time. But then MTV became sort of like the official stamp of a controlled media. Right? In other words, if you weren't on MTV, you could not be successful.
Right? Yes, it's true.
Right? And now it's a complete backlash is that nobody cares about MTV anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So MTV now has to play the videos that are on YouTube, even if they only cost $5,000 to make.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. Okay, there's a really simple question I want to ask you because I find it interesting. If you were forced to put all your money in a future trend,
right,
what it will be?
Well, I think for me right now the top trend is the user empowerment and the user's involvement in the creation of new content,
mm-hmm.
whether it's music, films, videos, and you know the thing about content is people are confused with the sort of content is king discussion. I think content is also when you click, is when you comment, when you tag, when you rate.
Yeah.
When you forward, all of these things are content. So I'm a content creator on the internet, even if I don't upload. You know, I create
something.
I create data.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So anybody who is good at collecting the data, organizing it, maybe anonymizing it, you know, those are all great businesses. I mean, that's Google, of course, too. Yeah. But many others. Anybody who knows how to do with that data and to organize it and to get people to engage in a safe way, of course. You know, I think that that's where I would put my money right now.
That's where you put it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Those are the new media companies.
And there's a very interesting idea that I read recently in Seth Godin's book, Meet Boss and Die. He says that every company should treat itself as a media company because they produce too much content. They can produce too much content that interests many people. And they can create their own proprietary channels, giving out messages and content about the company. Let's say that Apple, how many blogs and podcasts and everything is produced by the consumers about Apple, about the company that produces other products.
That's why I said, you know, in the presentation is that a brand is a broadcaster. Mm. I'm like a radio tower, you know, for say Lufthansa, and I broadcast messages, right, that people can receive, you know, rather than yelling at them, I just send out waves.
Yeah. But at the same time, we are saying that people are themselves the media, okay? They are themselves broadcasters as well. So brands and people are in a network together.
Of course.
So it would be a good idea for a company to produce and also aggregate content that is produced for about this company.
This is exactly what's happening. I mean, Star Wars, you know, Star Trek. George Lucas is a very conservative guy in terms of the rights, right? So he realized that there's thousands of people are taking Star Trek videos, remixing and publishing them.
Yes.
So he launched his own platform where you can do that. He's giving you all the videos. You can remix online. You can publish on his platform, right? Great idea, because it's happening anyway, right? So as a brand, would you refuse to let people remix your logo or help, you know, do something with the ad campaign? Well, probably not. You probably empower them, you know, and embrace it, even if it created negative effects to where they make fun of it.
What I'm thinking is that if everybody is a brand, I mean, Apple is a brand, but me as well, I'm a brand.
Yes.
Okay. So we have now a different relationship. I want a brand to belong in this community, and Apple wants to belong in this community. So it's not an audience and a brand. We're all brands, or we're all members of the same community, so we should have the option to give value to each other. This is a different model.
We could have an equal conversation.
Yeah, we have an equal conversation. I mean,
of course, I mean, this goes with what's
because
called
you
the personal
to
CPM,
help me
right?
as well to make my brand to be heard and to be spread around. That's it.
Well, I mean, I think it's very much a sort of give and take conversation. You know, it's. I think brands will very quickly, or already are looking for endorsement of people who can bring in other people, and they will pay a lot for that. Right? I mean, that's basically advertising to them, right? And they will start to seed things like they do in movies, you know, for the last 50 years.
What I'm saying is that this concept that if a brand like Coca-Cola, okay, or whatever, goes and participates in a community and starts a conversation with other people, consumers, users. Well, the concept is that I'm going with them just to help, because that they want them to help me to, again, to push my brand, not to pull, but to push again.
Right.
I mean, this culture of pushing, it is still alive even if they go into the communities.
Of course. It's not a black and white thing either.
Right.
You know? Sometimes I think the pushing is totally appropriate. You know? It all depends. But in general, you know, if that's all you do, if that's all you can do, you know, that's a pretty narrow path. You know, for example, you know, TV and radio broadcasters have this problem. All they can do is push. Right? Because they are the ones who decide. Right? If they can't take in that something is coming back, you know, when the car goes online, radio companies are finished, right? If they don't find a way. Because, you know, people will connect in the car to any source of music or audio.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the state broadcaster going to do to create value? Except for news or traffic.
Well, let me question this. we say to many marketeers now, or to advertisers, well, it's good to go to the social media because the users are going to do some for your work for free. Well, I don't really like this message. I don't think it is a sustainable proposition because it is the old model in a new package.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that, you know, we're extremely early still. You know, I think that the idea of who does who, what for who, and who gets paid for what,
yeah,
it's completely up for debate. As I said, I think people are going to get paid to do this.
Okay. Yes.
The same people who are going to jail now to download the music, they are the ones who are going to get paid to listen.
All right,
to
yes. So, as users, we are going to ask for fees for our good work in social media.
Yeah, probably.
But that's only, that is basically because we are also sort of broadcasters, right?
Yes, so, that's right. Yes.
So it's exactly the same. You know, some broadcasters have to pay to use films, or, you know, they have to pay a license fee, but they also receive money. Right? It goes in both ways, right? So as a blogger, you can very easily imagine both ways, right?
Yeah.
You have to pay to use the media, but you get paid to endorse it or to put other things that create value. Right? So, for example, I think that many social networks are essentially radio or television in the new form.
Essentially, yeah.
Right? They're broadcasters. Mm-hmm. Right? But they're like a million broadcasters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're essentially broadcast networks. The next CBS, if you want,
yeah,
is Facebook.
Okay.
Well, I did really enjoy your presentation, your speech. There are some issues, perhaps we should talk about them in a future podcast. Yeah. I mean, like the privacy issue you raised.
Uh-huh.
Privacy issue.
It's a big issue.
It's a big issue. Perhaps we could do it in the future.
We could, you know, I think privacy, whoever can solve that problem is a $1 trillion business. You know, I think that is the biggest problem, because if I want something, I have to give my data. That is the future.
Yeah.
If I don't give my data, I don't get anything. Right? So what does that mean? You know, then at a certain point, can I pay to be private? Probably. You know, I think people will pay to keep their data in a separate place and still receive the content.
Do you think it's going to be the big industry for in the future? The privacy issue is going to be a big industry that someone will handle.
There already are a few companies,
yes,
quite a few, right? But this is also a policy issue.
Yes, it is.
It's, you know, who do you trust with your data? You know? And who can make a connection collecting your data from Amazon and the credit card company and eBay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, put together a profile about how dangerous you are. You know, how fair is that? You know, I think ultimately there are many issues there. It's not, you know.
And I think there's one more issue, the trust issue you just raised. And I think the traditional advertising industry does not really has the trust of people. So today there is a new opportunity going into the connected world to gain some of this most valuable asset, trust within society. So, and I think this is the greatest incentive to go open and to open this conversation.
I think this, economically speaking, there's a big relevance here, because basically it used to be that having control would make you more money. Now it's that if you can win people's trust, you can make more money. But we're still unsure how we can do this and scale it, you know. Mm-hmm.
We haven't found the right models to do it.
Yes.
Yeah, because it's still very early, right? We just know that having control over people is a model that's outmoding, right? It's running out of steam.
Yeah.
It's the same like saying that Western copyright should be respected in China or in Russia. You know, that system isn't going to work there.
Mm.
You know, it's based on a control mechanism. So can we build a trust model that makes money? I think we can, but we have to put it together.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I think this is a job for an agency, you know, is to create these models that are based on having trust, building trust, keeping trust. You know, ultimately, that's all that matters in the end. I mean, that's why certain brands are trusted, other ones are not.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much.
That was a great conversation.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ευχαριστούμε και όλους τους φίλους μας που μας ακούσανε. Επόμενο επεισόδιο, πιθανότατα θα είναι και αυτό έκπληξη, από Μεγάλη Βρετανία, από εμένα.
Και από την Πέττη. Ευχόμαστε καλό πρωινό ή καλό απόγευμα.
Καλημέρα, καλησπέρα.
Καλημέρα, καλησπέρα.